The guy who drives it through! Oh, that's a magnificent goal! A sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gij!
We had the high notes on the park, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It's just unfortunate we never won anything.
He's in trouble if he kicks! The super sharp has done it again!
It's not a choice anymore. You know, we're going to have to be much more effective in the transfer market, and everybody in the club knows that. Lukovic
on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Lukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Lukovic!
Thick or thin, no matter what happens, we're privileged to be part of this club.
And here they come again, Rangers stretched, it's Hamlet again, Pushwich committing himself, and he scores! It's 3-0 to Hullamal!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Chance here for Hullamal. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, he still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the By The Men MFC podcast. Today we welcome back Busta, and also we're in the presence of Matthew Grant. Matt, it only took you about 50 minutes to get your Skype set up, so thanks very much for agreeing to come on.
No problem. Better late than never, I think.
Yeah, but that was a bit of a frustrating process, and yesterday, Jay, one of the most turgid games of football I have seen in quite some time. 0-0 against Partick Thistle. It was a dead rubber. The atmosphere was dead. The football was dead boring. It was just rubbish, wasn't it?
That pretty much sums it up, aye. It was a meaningless game. But it shouldn't have been. There's players in the Motherwell team there that should have been treating it as more of a game that actually means something to them, because it's a chance to put themselves in contention for the playoff matches. So that was slightly disappointing. I think that the fact that our sides seem to have the same sort of lack of interest, that sort of end of season training match friendly sort of feel to it. I kind of expected a wee bit more from Motherwell, but you're right, it was just absolutely dire. And that's really all you can say about it.
Plus that, it was an opportunity, as Jay said, for some of the fringe players to stake a claim. Some of the guys approaching the end of their contracts to prove that they're worthwhile keeping at Fir Park. I just wanted to see a wee bit of spark, something that gave us a wee bit of hope going into the first leg at Ibrox of the playoff. That didn't really come to anything, did it? I can't really think of any standout performers yesterday.
Definitely not, no. As you said, it was basically, the backup. Lionel Ainsworth, John Sutton, with the only two, Dom Thomas as well, maybe the only two that are anywhere near the team. Other than that, I think Louis Lang probably played just to get him some game time, but as you say, it basically was as if there was nothing to play for, but as you say, you'd expect maybe one or two of the players to put in a bit of effort, try to get themselves in the team sheet for Thursday.
Matty, I know you're a big fan of a few of the younger players at Motherwell. Dom Thomas giving a rare start yesterday. What was your take on his performance over the 90 minutes?
Patchy, to be honest with you. Started relatively brightly and probably finished the same in the last 15-20 minutes when we managed to move the ball and lead it a bit quicker. Obviously, you make that many changes, there's not really going to be any fluidity to the play. Guys have played bit parts together in the under-20s, guys have played bit parts together in the first team, and guys have had long layoffs, Jack Leach came in the squad second half of the game yesterday, so I thought he did okay. One thing about him is he's always wanted to pick his head up and go at something, but it didn't seem the heavy light, but I think it was just one of those games I don't think anyone was going to. I think it was interesting that Ryan gets some game time. I think he came important come Thursday. It was good to see Dan with a pretty strong performance and goals as well. I know that divides opinion amongst them all support, to be honest. I'd probably end a podcast, but it was good to see. He's probably given Barraclough the one selection headache for Thursday, I'd imagine.
Jay, I'm not sure I'd really agree with that. I think George Long was guaranteed a place, but Dan did come in and a clean sheet. I suppose if he was going to stake a claim with a good performance, he had to have a clean sheet and make a few good saves, and he did that.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about it the last couple of weeks, you know, Long versus Twardzik, because neither are particular standouts. For me, Twardzik is a slightly better goalkeeper, and I'd feel slightly more comfortable getting into the playoff games with Dan in goals ahead of Long. But I do agree with you, I don't think that's Barraclough's thinking. I think Barraclough will know that George Long will be starting on Thursday and Sunday, and I think it was just more about giving Dan game time. If he has done enough, you know, yesterday to maybe make Barraclough rethink it, then that'd be great. But I don't think so. I think that was more about towards like just getting some game time, and I think that Long will be back in goals for the two games.
Basta, we'll not really dwell in yesterday's game for much longer, but was there anyone else that kind of stood out for you as having a decent performance? Even I said after the St Mirren game, I didn't think any Motherwell player deserved a 4 out of 10. There was a few better performances than that, at least yesterday.
There definitely was, but I don't know about a standout, to be honest with you. As you said, you know, it was basically a friendly at the end of the year. As you said quite rightly as well, Twardzik had a decent game. I think he came out about 10 yards and caught a cross as well, which is a first for him. So, as you say, the goalkeepers are an issue because both of them, in my opinion, are not very good. But yesterday, I don't think there was anybody who particularly stood out. But, as I say, there was nothing really to play for yesterday, was there?
Nah, I think personal pride had to kick in. We can argue about the merits of leaving players out ahead of what is one of the biggest games in our recent history, but Ian Barraclough decided to do that. I think there'll be wholesale changes again come Thursday, but the time is to knuckle down and somehow get ourselves out of the situation that we're in.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lewis Lang was the only one that started on Thursday, out of that 11 that started yesterday.
Matty, we now know that we'll face Rangers in the playoff final. We both watched the game with Hibs yesterday. There isn't much to fear there, but given this horrendous mentality, especially in away performances from us this season, I can't say that I'm going into it with any hope. We've talked about it amongst ourselves before we came on, about how we're dreading going to the game. It's a horrible place to go and watch football, it really is, especially as an away supporter, of course. I'm trying so hard to see some positives, but for the first time this season, I can't see any at all.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a difficult one. It's certainly going to tie because it's never easy. But I'm sort of divided in my opinion on it. I'm sort of up and down, and I know probably some of the guys come Thursday night after a couple of pints in the pub pre-match, going, do you know what, we're going to get something out of this, but the realisation might not be quite the same. I think we've got to go and make ourselves hard to beat. I think that's a problem we've had in the last 8 games away from home. I think we've only won 1-8 away from home recently. So, but the difference is we're chasing results to pick up and chase Ross County and try and claw them back on the other side, including Thistle and Kilmarnock. But is this one, people say it's 2 cup ties, but we've got to play completely differently. I think if we can even go back to third part on Sunday with a 0-0, a 1-1 or even a 1-0 deficit, we've got a chance, because as you say, they're not overly impressive, Rangers. They'll be riding on the adrenaline and the fact that they've come through the playoffs so far, but I don't think they'll make wholesale changes either, so they're going to have some tired legs here, and it's whether we can hold on, because they'll come out fast probably, they'll come out hard at us and try and get a couple of other goals and they'll try and kill the game off in the first leg. I'm hoping we see a change in formation to allow us to, we can't go and park the bus, because I don't think defensively we're good enough to park the bus, but we've certainly got to be bit slightly more poised about what we do, and just having a change of formation. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult one. You know, it's, I think we are the underdogs. That seems crazy, being the team in the Premiership, but I think we are the underdogs, and I think that might work to our advantage slightly, because a lot of the chat from the pundits and all the fans and the expectation from the Rangers supporters is that that's pretty much done it. You know, Hibs is going to be the hardest game, and this will probably be, you know, an easier affair for them. But you know, I'm always a bit of an optimist, probably to move forward, but I think we've still got a chance. But really, fundamentally, it comes down to how we perform on Thursday and what we get into. So if we come back with something to play for, I think we, you know, we can be quite poised if we get into a game at Fifth Park on Sunday and take the game to them. But we'll see what happens.
Jay, for all Rangers were in control for the majority of the two legs against Hibs, certainly in scoreline terms, they created very little. The Hibs must have, I think it was 14 or 15 corners to Rangers' one in the first leg on Wednesday night. They've got a very defensive minded approach to the game, it seems, which is quite strange, because from history I always remember going to Ibrox and really being camped in our own half, and it was almost kind of batting down the hatches and hope for the best. Sometimes you can maybe sneak a point through an excellent defensive display, but it's a different proposition going to Ibrox now.
Well, I mean, I agree with Matty. I think that we need to be, perhaps not part of the bus on Thursday, but I think we need to be organised. I think that's what we need to do, and that'll be a challenge, because it's not something we've done particularly at the back a lot of this season. We need to be organised. Rangers aren't a good football team. They're pretty poor. I mean, Queen of the South, if Gavin O'Reilly going to go one-on-one with Cammy Bell hadn't completely fluffed it, then Queen of the South would probably have dumped them out in the first games of the playoffs. Hibs, I thought, were probably the better team over both legs. They just were really powder puff up front. They just couldn't do anything with the set pieces they had. And that was more their own fault than anything Rangers did. I mean, Rangers are a pretty poor football team. There is nothing to fear from Rangers. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. Our biggest enemy is our lack of organisation at the back, our poor defensive displays, and the mentality that you mentioned earlier. So if we can sort those things out in a relatively short period of time, whether we can do so or not, you know, who knows. But if we can sort those things out, then we've got nothing to fear for Rangers. I mean, Rangers have got, I think if you take out Lee Wallace and Vukic from that team, they're pretty poor. I mean, there is nothing to fear there. And it's about, you know, it's about combating those challenges. You know, I mean, we've discussed the lineup and things like that. I would like to see us go and play, you know, a 4-5-1 and just give somebody like Simon Ramsden, perhaps, the role of, you know, sit in front of the back four and just follow Vukic about and just kick him. Just, you know, try and take him out of the game. He seems a bit of a hothead as well. You might get a reaction out of him. And just do that, you know, try and take him out of the game. I would also, as much as I'm not Ainsworth's biggest fan in the world, I'd probably play Ainsworth right up the right wing and hope that his pace and his, you know, his attacking instinct kind of reduce what Lee Wallace can do going forward, because Wallace will need to, you know, have in the back of the mind that he needs to track back a bit more to cover somebody as quick as Ainsworth. So there's not much to fear. I mean, you know, you can apply the realism and the pessimism to it, the fact that we have been incredibly poor this season, particularly away from home. There's a chance the tie could be, you know, gone from us by the time we even get back to Fir Park. But if you're going to be a Motherwell fan and you're going to pick, you know, one week to be optimistic and to have a bit of hope and to be positive, then it might as well be this week out of any other.
Yeah, Buster, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Obviously, with the Stuart McCall situation, the potential of Stuart McCall being the man in charge of Rangers and seeing Motherwell down, he's not going to get a very good response from the Motherwell supporters, despite many good years at Fir Park before he kind of oversaw a real slump in the team, and I think he left us in a pretty bad way as well.
Yeah, as you say, he's not going to get a very nice reception, I don't think. And now he shouldn't, you know, he's not an employee of our club anymore. As you say, I think the manner and the way he left us, you know, as if he couldn't be arsed anymore. It's not as if, you know, the sort of way he just you know, even Flo spoke about it when he was like trying to quit beforehand and stuff, and they were talking about it. He just couldn't be arsed, to be honest with you, by the sounds of it. And if, you know, the worst comes to the worst and we do end up going down, it's going to be pretty poor sitting watching Stuart McCall and Kenny Black celebrating, I suppose. But again, these things happen in football, and as you say, he done well for us for a couple of years until the last bit there, so you know, it's something which you can't help. I think that as well, in regards to the team selection, lineup, things like that, I think Barakov's going to stick with his usual 11. Conor Grant will be in there, but whether we go 4-4-2 or 4-5-1, you know, maybe see Conor Grant move in. And I've said it to you before, I think all we'll do is move Irwin into one of the wings and Johnson on the other wing, and you know, maybe switch them throughout the game. But he seems to have his 11 nailed down, and you know, he just seems to move them to suit the formation rather than you know, change it up a bit. Substitutions are like for like as well, so I don't really see much changes, to be honest with you, in the way he's going to set the team up.
Matty, one thing that was very noticeable from Hibs' approach to yesterday was the ticket allocation given to Rangers. Drastically reduced ticket allocation. I think they had given Hibs 950 for Ibrox, and they got a very small section of the stand behind the goal yesterday. For me, that's fantastic. It didn't matter that Hibs hadn't sold their own sections. They gave themselves an advantage on the park by having the stands predominantly Hibs fans. Apparently we will allocate the whole south stand to Rangers, and I just think that's stupid. This is a game that we've not budgeted for, so really just cover your policing, cover your stewarding, and do everything you possibly can to give Motherwell a fighting chance at beating Rangers and retaining their Premiership status.
100% agree with that, Andy. I know we've discussed it, the game, for a bit yesterday, and for me, it's, as you say, we've not budgeted to be in this position necessarily. And you know, a couple of you guys were at the Q&A during the week with Mr. Hutchinson, who says that the budget's going to be cut next year. So if we're talking about being in a relatively positive position financially, if we're not cutting budgets, if we potentially go down, then I don't see why we should plan in a position where we give Rangers probably in a position to have as many fans in the ground as there are Motherwell fans. We need every advantage we can get to get behind the team and actually you know, go and have a go at Rangers. And sometimes you get the pressure of a big crowd, so it could be hard enough on Thursday for some of the guys who've never been there and never been in that situation. It'll be bad, and then it'll be pretty difficult on Sunday as well if there's a full south stand. So no, I think Hibs did a fantastic thing to give themselves the best advantage. It was a bit of a shame they never managed to have one of their own supporters there, but I think they'll come out in numbers. So yeah, I can wholeheartedly agree with that. We should just give them a percentage. I think we're going to get probably about 950 tickets, so that's roughly 1/50 of Ibrox. So why don't we give them 1/50 if we're better than we've done, you know? So I'm cool with it. I'd
be either, Andy. Jay, it's not an atmosphere that to relish, certainly in terms of, it's always difficult when a crowd of the size of both Rangers and Celtic come through and almost take over the town for a day at times. I know there's local pubs already declared that they wouldn't be opening after full time. It's going to be tense, isn't it? There's a real grudge already with, I think one of the Rangers fan sites about how Motherwell voted them down and this is their chance for revenge and karma's mentioned. It just all adds to the hostility and the tension. It's games of supporters and players that should be savoured, but I just kind of wish it was a cup final, not a playoff final with such high stakes and such drastic consequences for the loser.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the giving Rangers a tiny allocation, it's something I think we should be looking at. I'd be really disappointed if we hadn't at least looked at it. I think we need to remember that 50% of the gate receipts go to the SPFL. So if you're talking about, you know, Rangers fans coming to Fir Park with a chance of, you know, clinching promotion, there'll be Rangers fans in the Motherland. You know, I'm not sure how much the actual policing and stewarding will cost. I mean, you know, there is the chance that if we gave them a tiny allocation, we might end up out of pocket because we're having to fork out so much on policing and stewarding. If it's possible, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're talking about, what is it, 4,800, I think is the Rangers allocation, you then factor in there is absolutely no way that there aren't going to be a good number of Rangers fans in the Motherland for the game. I mean, the idea that there'll be just as many Rangers fans as Motherwell fans is wrong. There will be more Rangers fans than Motherwell fans at Fir Park, I've no doubt about that. Because as big a game as it is, there are still a lot of Motherwell fans who will not go. Because it's a hot, let's not kid ourselves, I mean, Rangers fans are the most horrible, obviously they have their, you know, their good fans, you know, we all know, perfectly, you know, proud, normal, football fans that support Rangers, but they have a large, large element of horrible, horrible individuals, in both at Ibrox on Thursday night and at Fir Park on Sunday. It'll be horrific to be there, I mean, it'll be horrible. You know, we'll be there at both games because we're Motherwell fans, it's what we do, but it's going to be absolutely horrible, and I think that needs to be taken into account as well by the club, rather than it simply being a case of, you know, finances and, you know, the idea of the atmosphere affecting what goes on the park. You know, I'd like to see a bit more thought and a bit more consideration given to the actual experiences that we as Motherwell fans are going to have to go through. I mean, you know, you said it there, the Electric Bar is closing at 3 o'clock on Sunday because they know for a fact that it's got the potential to be utter carnage. And if you're a Motherwell fan, you know, having to leave Fir Park surrounded by Rangers fans on your own end, because let's not kid ourselves, you know, we've seen it before. If any Rangers fan wants to go and buy a ticket for the home end, they'll do so because our club won't do anything to stop them from doing that. So we'll be probably surrounded by Rangers fans in the Motherwell end. There'll be 4,500 of them in their own end. And it's just going to be, you know, a horrible, horrible atmosphere. And it's one of those ones where if they win, you know, it'll be horrible because we've been relegated. But that's probably the best, the lesser of two evils in terms of what goes on off the park. If we're leaving Fir Park, having just made sure that Rangers don't get promoted, it'll be utter chaos outside. So the idea that we just sort of pander to that and are quite happy to just throw tickets at Rangers, you know, in spite of all that, it does, you know, make you feel a wee bit sick to think that, you know, your own club don't really take that into consideration. I do think finances need to be considered, the fact that stewarding and, you know, stewarding costs and placing costs are going to have to increase because there is going to be the potential for a bit of chaos outside. But I don't think that should be, you know, to the detriment of what is essentially the well-being of your own football fans.
But see, that's the bit I don't really get. We were hoping to allow season ticket holders in for free. So surely we anticipated making a slight loss from this game, or I don't know how the finances would have played out exactly, but now we're actually charging a fiver more than Rangers will charge us. So I just think, as usual, Motherwell have kind of bent over and just let anyone. We've pandered to Rangers, and it really, really disappoints me.
I do agree. I know what you mean. I mean, I'm just sort of kind of playing devil's advocate. If it turns out that we could have given them a small allocation, I saw in the statement the club have suggested that they just want to break even. If that truly is the case, and we could break even by giving Rangers fans a small allocation, and we haven't done it, then it's an absolute shambles. I completely agree. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate in terms of, you know, stewarding costs and policing costs. Of course, if you give Rangers a smaller allocation, you'd need less stewards and less police. So, you know, in theory, it could work. I just think it was really disappointing. And as Matty says, you know, I was at the Q&A on Tuesday night, and there were a lot of really disappointed glances and a few rumbles in the room when it was confirmed that, you know, without question, we will be giving them the entire south stand. It just seems both counterproductive in terms of, you know, gaining an advantage off the park. And it also, you know, it's creating a really, really horrible, horrible situation for Motherwell fans to go and watch their team in.
Yeah, it's potentially a real powder keg. We'll move on to that Q&A. Jay, you've very generously provided updates from the first half of it. Anyway, Les Hutchison did most of the talking from what I can gather, although Ian Barraclough and Alan Burrows were both in attendance too.
Yeah, there was Barraclough wasn't on the panel. I'm not really sure why he was there. It was kind of uncomfortable at times. I mean, there was a few questions relating to what was going on in the park. in particular the last few away games. You know, I think the first question was, you know, the last three away games we've taken a fantastic support and the players haven't turned up. You know, what's this about? You know, is the, you know, and the manager was mentioned and things like that. And it was just really uncomfortable, the fact that you've got Barraclough sitting there. He was obviously told to be there by Les Hutchison, but was told that he wasn't going to be taking any questions. So it was just really, you know, really awkward and really uncomfortable. But yeah, the panel was Derek Weir, Alan Burrows, Les Hutchison and Brian McCafferty. I was only there for the first half because I had to go play fives.
Just on that as well, Jay, Barraclough being there, I wasn't able to make it myself, but for what people are telling me, it sounds like, you know, he sat there like a punished school kid, basically. Is that how it looked? Because that's how I certainly get the image, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like, I don't know, you know, like a kid brought along by his dad and just told to sit there quietly. It just seemed, it was bizarre, if nothing else. I mean, you know, it wasn't particularly, you know, it didn't cause any harm, I suppose. It was harmless having him there, but it just seemed really weird. There just seemed absolutely no reason for him to be there whatsoever, and I would much rather he would, you know, I'm not suggesting he needs to spend every minute, every day planning for the playoff, but I would much rather he was away doing something far more productive than just sitting there looking like, you know, an outcast.
Yeah. See, there was a point that you made on the Twitter, and it was regarding season tickets. We've announced season ticket prices will be frozen for next season. There was a very interesting reply to one of the questions given, though, wasn't there?
Well, I mean, the thing is, yeah, I mean, so somebody had stood up and sort of said, I mean, the pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, but it pretty much went, I've read today that season ticket prices are going to be frozen for next season. Is that going to be the case if we go, even if we get relegated? The response was yes. And the follow-up remark was, do you think that's fair? Because, you know, a lot of us, you know, can't keep affording to put so much money into Motherwell. And, you know, Les Hutchison gave an extended response, but he opened with a line, well, don't buy a season ticket then. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that it was, you know, a deliberately cheeky or dismissive remark, but it did kind of have that slight feel about it. I mean, I think that there's a lot of what Les Hutchison says and the way he says it that doesn't quite translate, you know, to a crowd of football fans, you know, from post-industrial Lanarkshire. I think that Scudgy on Steelman Online, former well-trusted FC striker, Scudgy, made a good point. He said that, I think it boils down, because it is something that's split opinion on there, I've noticed. There are those who kind of say, well, he's a straight-talking, honest individual, and that's exactly what we need. And I agree with that. I think he's been really good in terms of saying, right, this is what's happening. I don't want to be here. If you want it, if you want a club, you need to pay for it. I think that's a really good, positive thing. But, you know, he does have an arrogant, egotistical side. I mean, you know, there was times, I mean, his introductory remarks, I mean, Tam Cowan made the comment afterwards, you know, about how long his introductory remarks have been on. You know, he basically took a QA. I know the QA was predominantly about him, but you know, we all had to sit there for 20 minutes. Well, they gave us this big spiel that we've heard time and time again, and it just seems as though every second or third line needs to contain a specific large amount of money that's put into the club. He said about two or three times that had he arrived a month or two earlier, we almost definitely wouldn't be in the playoffs, which, you know, I find bizarre, because it was pretty much the players we brought in during the transfer window that have allowed us to do what we've done, and presumably he wasn't going to make the transfer window, you know, occur in November if he'd joined earlier. I think just a little bit needs, you know, a wee word in his ear, you know, just stick to the straight talking and the honesty. There's no need to come across quite so arrogant. And Scudgy on Steelman Online made a great point where he said, I think it boils down to two groups of people. There are those who can afford to support and be a member of the Welsh society, and for those people, you know, the arrogance, it doesn't matter, you know, who cares, you know, it's fine for them. But for other people, it becomes an issue, because, you know, you're being almost patronised or lectured about how you should be doing more for your football club. You know, I think the way Les said on the night was that he has set us a test. If we can get 2,000 members of the Welsh Society to prove to him that we want a football club, and you're kind of sitting there and you're thinking, well, you only turned up in January, we don't need to prove anything to you, who are you? I mean, you know, I mean, I appreciate what he's doing for the club, but, you know, we're Motherwell fans, we've supported Motherwell all our lives. The idea that, you know, this millionaire has swanned in and decided that you need to prove things to him, I think it can rankle a few people. So as much as it doesn't really bother me so much, as I'm a Welsh Society member already, you know, it's not a deal clincher for me. I do think, particularly from the reaction of those around me. I mean, there was one of our good mates had to go and get a pint because he was utterly raging. I need to go, I need to be real. And I think the way he put it was that he took real issue to, you know, attack Sexile lecturing him on, you know, doing more for the club. That's his words, not mine. They'll go, we'll not name him. But, you know, it was just, there was a lot of, you know, negative looks. And when that first, you know, the end of the first half, when it was the interval, there was a lot of negative comments from El Table, a lot of arguments and debates, kind of, you know, disbelief at times. And I think the disappointing thing for me isn't so much that, you know, if you make a, you know, millions of pounds and you can afford to buy football clubs and, you know, sunbathe in Barbados and all that, you crack on, you be as arrogant or out of touch as you want. I think the problem for me is Motherwell fans. Okay, the Motherwell fans defending them on Steelman Online just completely dismiss this and sort of go, oh well, you know, either he's not arrogant or he is and it doesn't matter. It does matter to people because people, that puts people off. Now, if you don't agree that there is the arrogance or the ego there, that's fine. But it needs to be acknowledged that some people do see it and some people have a problem with it. And if we're serious about the Welsh Society being a success and we're serious about people getting involved with it, then it needs to stop, because anything that's putting people off joining, whether you agree with it or not, is counterproductive. So I would far rather somebody just had a word in his ear and said, look, we get it, you put a lot of money in, you just don't need to keep going on about it. You know, just keep talking straight, you know, tell us what we need to do and just drop a little bit of the bravado and we should be fine.
Yeah, Matt, it's an interesting one because you've got a loyal fan base that is diminishing. I just can't understand how you can have paying customers told, well, if you don't want it, don't do it. Because we can't be afford to be turning away people. We've talked about it many times before, the amounts of alternative sporting entertainment that's available for cheaper, a better experience at the game. But the completely die-hard loyal fans are a dying breed now. Regardless of whether the Welsh Society reaches its 2,000 members, whether your opinions on that are the well or the won't, that's kind of by the by just now. Season ticket holders, commonly regarded as the lifeblood of the club, that's, Jay made a great point. Like, you've only been here since January. Don't come in here 4 months and tell loyal fans that if they don't want to do it, then fine. But it's almost a kind of, on your own head be it. If you don't have a club, then it's your fault. It's just swanned in, and his arrogance is completely unbecoming of someone involved in a... I think his attitude is absolutely dreadful, to be honest. I know that we're completely killing our chances of ever having him back on here, but personally, I don't even want him back on. His attitude's absolutely stinking.
Yeah, it's a bit baffling, to be honest, because, you know, I mean, I wasn't there myself. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it due to work. But it's interesting, you know, he's going to remember how much money he spent. But let's look at it in relative terms. You know, as you see, guys come in January, he's pumped some money in the club, and we're all very appreciative of that, don't get me wrong. I think if you asked any Motherwell fan, given we were obviously in a bit of a precarious position at the time, we're all grateful for the assistance. But in relative terms, Motherwell fans have dipped their hands in their pockets for the club for years. And for them to come in and kind of always refer back to that point would probably upset quite a few people. A couple of guys had said, and we've obviously discussed it as well, that what he's saying isn't necessarily wrong, but it's his delivery of how he does it. And he feels like you're getting told off all the time. And it's just, then I haven't joined the society myself, and I pondered and I thought about it, and I went to the initial meetings when the society was been set up, and it was been headed up by Miss Dempster. And I believe in it, but I still have my own personal issues with the model, and I know there's been you guys discuss it in great length on a regular basis. And really bring it to the fore, which is great for the fans to keep part of a voice to get that across. But yeah, he's running a real risk of disengaging with that core fan base, as you see it, as diminishing. We're always going to have that sort of, I'd imagine, 2,000 to 2,500 core season ticket holders, and that's who he's really appealing to. But he's also got to understand as well that in terms of a global and UK-wide recession we've just come out of, and that's just, as we all know, is an area that has struggled for years in terms of from the early 90s. So it's for him to come out and be so sort of ostentatious and so sort of blatantly disregard the fact that the club survived because of these people for years, as in the interaction of not playing the heartstrings, but honestly to talk them down and put them in a position where they feel as if they've been spoken to. It just baffles me. And I don't know if it's a part of an ego trip or whatever it is from him, but it just seems odd. And again, you know, when it comes to the crunch, you probably find that Marvel fans are more inclined to, like most fans are, you know, they have their hearts with them and backs against the wall, they rally round. I think there's just been too much level of uncertainty for fans to say that to dip their hand in the pocket in the first instance. But I hope we don't get to that level. But he really needs, as Jay has mentioned, he really needs to watch what he's doing, and someone has to take him aside and say, look, you're going to alienate people from us here if you don't watch how you come across them. You have to just mellow slightly and almost come down to people's level. Not that, you know, we're a working class and he's upper class and this to carry on, but it's a case of he just needs to engage with people in a different way. And that's to take on concern the fans. You know, a guy stood up at the Q&A as a point, you know, why should we be paying more for essentially what would be a lower level of football? So I think that was close to a lot of people's hearts, that question, and for him to come back with that answer of, initially, don't buy a season ticket then, you know, that's just baffling, that's just absolutely bizarre. So we'll see what comes out. I hope someone like Derek Weir, or I don't know if Alan Burrows is in a position to say, look, chill out a wee bit. You've got to keep these guys on side, because if we lose them, as you say, there's so many other things that we do in terms of sporting activities, and people, you know, sometimes when you lose them to the game, they'll never come back. Cause there's wider issues with Scottish football, and again, we've all discussed before that you need to make the game more entertaining. You know, we were saying yesterday, it's great that we finished second the last 2 years, but you don't get them for finishing second. And there's that, you know, it's easy for people to say, oh, great, we finished second, whatever else, and put a hand in their pocket for next season, but, you know, you see it across Scottish football, people become disengaged because it's, you know, no one's won it. I think it was 86 Aberdeen won the league, so no one's won it, so the dwindling attendances in the back of that, but we're then going to end up upsetting our own fan base, and it's just, you're just going to put yourself in a really poor position.
Well, can I just pick up, I mean, that's my main point. I mean, I know that when reading Steelman online, the reaction to it, there's a lot of people who, you know, are sort of dismissive of it, or saying, oh, you know, mourning for the sake of it, you know, this guy's came in and gave us a chance, he's put money into the club, or some people don't even acknowledge the arrogance or the way he talks about certain things, because, you know, they just see this really straight-talking and honest guy. And that's all great, you know, it's about opinions, you don't need to think he's arrogant, you don't need to think that his arrogance is any issue whatsoever. But if it affects just a handful of fans, if there is a number of fans who quite evidently from reading, not just from speaking to people at the Q&A, but from reading about on, you know, Steelman online and speaking to people afterwards, it's quite clear that a lot of people do have these issues. Now, whether you agree with them or not, you know, I'm thinking about people on Steelman online who just dismiss these opinions, whether you agree with them or not, is irrelevant. That has to, you know, if people have these grievances, then it's going to be completely counterproductive in what we all want, and that is the Welsh society to succeed.
What I don't get as well, he's quite clearly putting money into the club, you know, so he's spending his own money. If he is, you know, so dismissive of people buying season tickets, and, you know, if it comes to it and the Welsh society doesn't succeed, where does he recoup this money? You know, he's spending his money here, so surely it's in his best interest. Well, obviously it will be in his best interest and ours, of course, as well, but his mannerisms are all wrong if he's trying to make his money back, basically, I think.
Yeah, I think it's crucial it wasn't just exclusive to the Q&A on Tuesday night. You've got, I think there was an element of it when he came on here the first time. There was very much prominent through his Radio Clyde interview as well. It just almost feels like the club have got, one way or another, they always use this kind of, we're told we're the lifeblood and everything else, and most people, regardless of who's in charge, will go along and try and put money in where possible. Just don't turn around and dismiss the people that are doing that, though. It's such a dangerous game we're playing, and I think the thing for me, Buster, as well, is the timing couldn't have been much worse, because the product on the park is really, really poor just now. We've had a really disappointing season. So people are still showing an interest. Certainly don't come across as arrogant and dismissive, because as I say, it's so dangerous.
Definitely, and again, even at the Q&A, to take Barakoff along with him when the team is doing really poorly, and then, as you say, I wasn't there, but from what I was reading and, you know, what people were saying, it seems as if folk were itching to ask questions about, obviously, you know, where it's going wrong, and there was no very much mentioned that, obviously, because it was about Les rather than the actual performances on the park, but I honestly, it really confuses me is the way he's going about it, to be fair. I just can't see what, you know, I mean, I can't see why, for example, there's people being so, I don't want to say supportive, but, you know, people who are just dismissing the fact that he has this attitude.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. I think sometimes when things aren't going as well on the park, there is a wee bit of a blame culture, and you look for other people to blame or reasons for why things aren't going right, and maybe he's just kind of added a wee bit of fuel to the fire there. We'll just kind of wrap things up. We're back on Friday anyway, after the first leg of the playoff. Kevin Twaddle's going to come on. Guys, we got to see Kevin briefly yesterday. Good to see him getting along to Fir Park and supporting the team. I don't know if he'll be back for a long time after watching that game, mind you.
No chance. he's a really good guy as well. You know, he's willing to chat away. Easy enough, easy going. Seems like a really good guy. But as you say, I think he sent you a message saying that was brutal as it was, you know. So.
Yeah, it was. Friday's another day, and hopefully we'll have some positive things to discuss ahead of the final chapter of this season on Sunday. Matty, thank you very much for taking the time to come on, mate.
No problem, thanks for having us.
Just get that Skype sorted out and you can come on again sometime.
That's it, mate, will do.
Don't forget your password this time.
Which pardon, mate, about before.
Buster, thank you very much. It's lovely to have you back from your holiday and your illness and everything else.
It's a pleasure being back. I'm probably the only person in the world that goes to Cyprus and comes back with a cold. So, you know, it was a shame I missed it last week, but as I say, it's good to be back.
You've been listening to the By The Min MFC podcast. We'll be back on Friday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.